Hello, and welcome to the first episode of the Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programmers podcast. Once again, a bored man has got hold of a microphone and is going to be wrong on the internet. I am that man. My name is Graham Lee. This podcast is about software and software engineering, and in the first episode, I'd like to talk about a side project that I've recently started with Stephen Baker called Amiga Small Talk. The project is on GitHub, so you'll be able to find it there, and there'll be a link in the notes. So I guess we need to start with answering the two questions about a project called Amiga Small Talk. The first being why Amiga, and the other one being why Small Talk. My interest in programming for the Amiga is that it's a resource-constrained system. While it is a 32-bit environment using the Motorola 68000 processor, they tend not to have much memory. The initial Amiga 1000 hardware had 128K of memory, and the common models like the 500 and the 500 Plus had half a megabyte. So doing a useful and interesting software project in a few hundred K of memory represents a challenge that many of us don't face these days, and leads us to ask whether we're making best use of our modern systems, whether developers truly need to be buying the latest and greatest hardware with 32 or 64 gigabytes of RAM, 2 terabytes of storage, multiple cores, and so on. There's still a sizable enthusiast community for the Amiga. People are still making new hardware upgrades, new cases, so that you can put your existing Amiga into a new chassis if the if the device is starting to go a bit yellow with age. New software coming out all the time, podcasts, Twitch streams, videos. So there's a lot of interest in this platform. And it just shows that there's a lot of fun to be had with a computer, even if you're not using like the most exciting and new hardware that's around. So that's why Amiga. Why Smalltalk? Smalltalk is really the starting point for object-oriented programming in its way. It took the idea of modelling concepts in the real world as objects in the software system from the earlier similar programming language, but really the idea that the entire system would be modelled through these objects, and that the behaviour would come out of a network of objects communicating by sending messages to each other and executing code in response to that, really started with Smalltalk and was largely popularized through the explosion of Smalltalk. You definitely see lineage from Smalltalk to Objective-C, and then of course to NextStep, macOS and iOS. But also to some microsystems and the Java programming language. Both the teams at Java and at IBM who implemented the early Java virtual machines were Smalltalk programmers who were using Smalltalk. And indeed the Eclipse IDE started as a Smalltalk development environment that was then ported to Java. Also from my personal perspective, I get to learn about how programming languages and programming environments are built. Something that I've not got much experience with. I spend a lot of time writing software for platforms or for environments that other people have created, and I've never particularly seen what goes into it myself. And Smalltalk is a great project on which to base this exploration into the world of building a programming environment, because it's so well documented. There are 3 books, all of them are freely available on Stefan Dukas's website. The Red Book, which describes the environment and how to use it and to extend it. The Blue Book, which is the one that is mostly the focus of this project, which describes how Smalltalk is implemented and indeed how you can build one yourself. And then The Green Book, which is a really interesting book because it's a collection of essays of the experiences of people who tried to build their own small talks during the Smalltalk 80 development phase, when Xerox PARC started to get external collaborators involved, people from HP, Digital Equipment Corporation, and other companies, and indeed from elsewhere in Xerox, into using and building Smalltalk systems. So while I've said that this is Amiga Smalltalk for the Amiga, I'm building the virtual machine in C, and currently it's all fully portable. It will work on any environment that's got a C compiler. I do a lot of the development on C, but I also, I do a lot of the development on Linux, but I also use a platform called the Amiga Research Operating System, or AROS. I'll put a link to AROS in the show notes. It is a modern operating system that is targeted at being API compatible with the original Amiga operating system, and indeed binary compatible if you're running on Amiga hardware. So if you've got a Motorola 68000 based Amiga, you can run your Amiga binaries on the AROS operating system. So that means that I'm able to test the Amiga compatibility without developing full-time on Amiga, and that's mostly just because I don't have my Amiga development environment set up yet. I've got my Amiga running, but when I got it out of the my parents' attic, I couldn't find the mouse, so I've got one of those on order. And when that happens, I'll be able to check out the sources on an Amiga and get a copy of GCC from Aminet, which is a software archive for the Amiga platform, and I'll be able to run Amiga Smalltalk there. So as I said, the Blue Book describes how to implement a Smalltalk 80, and there are two components to a Smalltalk 80 system. The virtual machine is the thing that runs on your computer and can execute the bytecode, which is what the Smalltalk compiler emits when you compile some Smalltalk code. And then there is the image, which is the collection of objects and their bytecode that represent your system. So if multiple people have got Smalltalk virtual machines, they could pass images around between each other and see everybody's Smalltalk environment. And you saw that idea being used in the very early Next computers, the Cubes, which had these magneto-optical removable disk drives and didn't have hard disks. So you could take your entire Next Step system out of one Next Cube, put it in another, and you would have your own environment. You know, you'd use your password to log in, you would have your files, and you would have your apps. And that's that idea comes from the Smalltalk image concept. So I have to start with the virtual machine so that when I've got any Smalltalk, any compiled methods in my image, I'll have something to run them on. The Blue Book actually describes the Smalltalk virtual machine in Smalltalk itself, which would be an interesting bootstrapping problem. So I'm just translating the code into C, which is very easy. The Smalltalk programming language itself, apart from the message syntax for sending messages between objects, is very similar to sort of Pascal-like language. So translating it into C is quite easy. It's taken me longer than it might because I'm adding tests as I go to make sure that I understand what the different methods that are described in the Blue Book are supposed to be doing, and ensuring that I've implemented them correctly. Now, one interesting thing about the Smalltalk virtual machine is that it only has two objects: the interpreter, which is responsible for reading the bytecode and then performing the computing actions that are described by this bytecode, and what's called the object memory, which is where all of the representations of the different classes and objects in the Smalltalk system are stored. So that's not what you'd expect, you know, if you've got experience in object-oriented programming, which obviously didn't exist to a great extent in the 1980 when Smalltalk 80 was being developed. If you're used to object-oriented programming, you would expect a lot more different parts to each be identified as their own objects with their own classes. So there are things in the virtual machine like compiled methods, which are the things that hold the bytecode and know how many arguments a method takes and whether it's associated with what's called a primitive method, which is a performance enhancement where a method can be run within the virtual machine rather than being defined fully in Smalltalk. And there are contexts, which are like stack frames in a language like C. So they're the things that hold the instruction pointer, the current value of any arguments or temporary variables, and tell the computer or the virtual machine where to return when a method is completed and things like that. And those are data structures in the Smalltalk virtual machine. They're not their own objects with their own sort of identity and their own code. All of the code for managing methods and managing contexts is in the interpreter object. And there would obviously be performance trade-offs to breaking these things out into their own objects. But it is nonetheless interesting that this sort of early, completely object-oriented system actually has a fairly straightforward procedural virtual machine implementation. What the object memory does give us, though, is garbage collection. And so it's interesting that even today there are arguments about whether garbage collection is, to use a neologism, performant. You know, whether we should be writing software where all of the use of memory, the allocation and releasing of memory, is done at known times, or whether it should be done automatically and thus got correct on the programmer's behalf. People who are using environments where there is no automatic memory management, so programming languages like C++ or Swift with its automatic reference counting, tend to be using abstractions like automatic reference counting or like smart pointers in C++. That actually means that that these programmers don't have full control or full insight into when all of the memory management is taking place. So is there really such a big distinction between these two regimes? And my answer, from the perspective of the Smalltalk garbage collection environment and the object memory implementation, is that no, there isn't a particular difference between these two approaches to managing memory, that there isn't an impossible to know and impossible to understand performance hit to running a garbage collector. There are actually two approaches to memory management within Smalltalk 80. It uses automatic reference counting. All references are what a Swift or Objective-C programmer would recognize as a strong reference. So whenever an object has a field that points to another object, that represents an ownership of that other object. It represents an increase in the reference count, which means, of course, that there are memory cycles. If two objects have references to each other, then the retain count of each of those objects is increased by the reference from the other object, and there is no way, without breaking that link, for the reference count of either object to ever go to zero, so they would stay around forever. And that's where Smalltalk 80's marking collector comes in. But the marking collector is run at particular times. The Blue Book implementation only runs the marking collector when there isn't enough memory to allocate space for a new object. So only when you have completely exhausted the existing memory or have fragmented it by making and releasing a lot of small objects that break up the large chunks of memory into smaller chunks, and you don't have enough space for a larger object, those are the only occasions on which it will pause and run the collector. And the way that the collector works is to start from known objects, which are the dictionary of globals, which is called the Smalltalk dictionary, and the context for any methods that are currently executing. And it marks every object that can be reached by following the instance variables of those objects and the objects that are referred to by those objects until it has seen an entire set of objects. So if it sees a marked object, it obviously doesn't traverse it again, so you don't get into an infinite loop. And when it has exhausted all of the objects it can reach from that collection of root objects, it then treats all of the other space in the memory as free, compacts it, and returns it for use to the system. Now, the Green Book, which is the Bits of History and Words of Advice volume of the Smalltalk book collection, the sort of anecdotes from people who have implemented Smalltalk, also talks about other occasions on which to run the garbage collector, such as when the user saves their image. So you only need to save objects that are reachable from the roots, and you can discard everything else, and you can save them in an efficient way so that they're loaded into the most compact amount of memory when that image is reloaded. And you could just run the garbage collector then, so that when the system relaunches, it relaunches with the maximum amount of available memory. Or even you could run the garbage collector over the user's lunch break or over their coffee break, so that you know that they're not trying to interact with the system and trying to get results out of it, so you're not interrupting the user's work. And obviously, like, some environments that are around now, like Java, don't give you that facility. There isn't a button that you can press that says run the garbage collector now, or there isn't an API that will guarantee to collect memory at the time that you ask. But these things are possible, and it is possible to have a fully automatic memory management system without having a non-deterministic performance impact, and Smalltalk 80 shows us that. So I'm hoping to learn more about Smalltalk as this project continues and as I get further into implementing what's written in the Blue Book. But for the moment, that is everything I've got. So thanks very much for listening. This is completely an experiment at the moment. I'm just trying out podcasting for the first time. So I'd really love to hear what you thought, whether you would like me to talk about any particular topics in the future, whether you think I should get guests on, whether the format works, whether the length works, anything that you would like to hear in a future edition of the Structure and Interpretation of Computer Programmers podcast. You can find me on Twitter, where my username is iwaslee g, which is iwaslee g, or you can send me an email, which is graham, graham, at iamleeg.com, which is iamleeg.com. So that's graham at iamleeg.com. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great time.